Could a vision of ending homelessness for families be as simple as finding stable housing, finding financial independence, as well as resilience? Well, that is the mission of the Charitable Assistance to Communities Homeless, or CATCH, as it's better known. Founded in 2006, CATCH is a leader and an innovator in housing our most vulnerable neighbors in the Treasure Valley. CATCH collaborates with community partners, and they use proven intentional methods like Housing First to make this happen. Joining me live in studio today to talk about our homeless issue in Idaho, Housing First, and what CATCH is doing for our community are Wyatt Schroeder, Executive Director of CATCH, Stephanie Day, our PATH Home Program Director, and Maureen Brewer, Continuum of Care Program Manager for the City of Boise. I want to welcome all of you to the program.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Wyatt, I'd like to start with you. First, tell me how CATCH began, and I think I gave a bit of a definition, but if you could elaborate on that a bit.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, CATCH really started as an experiment, not just in the city of Boise, but for Idaho. So there was this idea that you teed up called Housing First that really basically looked at how we're ending homelessness. And it basically said that it's possible the way we've tried to end homelessness, not just as a community, but as a country, is exactly backwards.
Explain that.
Yeah. So unfortunately, I think when we first saw really in the late 70s and the 80s, we deinstitutionalized mental health. We weren't sure what the next step was, and we saw a street population existing in our country like never before. And we had a natural reaction of turning to our shelter partners and saying, what if people just need more time? People will resolve their own issues. They'll find stable housing. They just need more time. And so we built up shelters. We built up two-year-long transitional housing programs, and those helped some people, but it didn't help a lot of people. And what really a psychologist out of New York saw in the 90s is that if we really want to have people overcome their addictions, live more healthily with mental illness, succeed in school for kids, and to not grow up in homelessness, we have to start with housing. It's as basic as Maslow's hierarchy of needs. We need to get people into housing as quickly as possible. And from there, once people are in stable housing with the support of an agency like a CATCH or like other partners in Idaho, from there we can see the successes of recovery, of financial independence, of increasing job development, and all the things that we know you need to keep that stable housing. And so that was what CATCH started as, incubated by the City of Boise in 2006, and then spun off to be an independent nonprofit in 2010, serving the entire Treasure Valley.
And Maureen, how did the city, you know, come up with this? Like, this is a good idea. Let's find housing. And how do you play a part in that in your daily job?
Sure. So as the Continuum of Care Program Manager for the City of Boise, the city is really the lead agency for all the housing providers, all the service providers that are looking to serve this vulnerable population that's either experiencing homelessness or is at imminent risk of experiencing homelessness. And I think the city has a pretty long history of knowing that we need to invest in this issue and we need to care about our most vulnerable neighbors. So this incubation period that Wyatt talked about in 2006 was our kind of one of our initial attempts, the city's initial attempts at recognizing that homelessness is actually a housing issue first and foremost.
And Wyatt, how do you find housing for this? Because I believe some people would say, well, we have shelters. People can stay in a shelter and they can find a job. They can get back on their feet.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of a silent crisis that can happen with homelessness, especially for families. So a lot of the families that we're serving, that Stephanie's assessing through our PATH Home, which we can talk about, aren't always the ones that you're seeing on the street. They're not the ones you're seeing in the Winco or the Walmart parking lot necessarily. But then every now and then they pop up in the news, like hearing about, unfortunately, a fire happening in someone's car who was sleeping in the Walmart parking lot. So these families aren't always necessarily the ones that were readily seen. And so with that, we're just building a relationship with all of our shelter partners to make sure they know that we need to get folks out of shelter. We need to get them off the street if they're not staying shelter in the first place. And so once they come into our care, the first thing we do is build a housing plan. More times than not, so these families have some kind of barrier that's keeping them out of housing, whether it's back debt. Like we just wrote just a couple days ago a $2,000 back utility bill that someone who got displaced during the recession, that's gone to collections now, and that's spiraling out of control. And so they get a payday loan to try to grab a hold of it, and it spirals and it spirals and it spirals. And then suddenly no landlord is going to rent to them because they can't turn the power on in their name. And our landlord partners are great, but they're not so altruistic that they're going to pay that power bill for them.
And you have this could not happen without collaboration.
Correct.
So you have many partners.
Yeah, we realized very early on that, hey, Catch, we're very proud of our mission. We're proud of the over 250 people whose homelessness we end every year, but we cannot end homelessness alone. And we believe that we can end homelessness. And so that's where Stephanie in this program and partnership, Our Path Home, comes in, is realizing that it's not enough to be proud of the work that Catch is doing to be or any of the other 30 providers on this. And especially for the families that are going through this, it's a very traumatic process. And frankly, we have to look in the mirror. We have to look in the mirror and realize that we as nonprofits, we actually add to people's trauma. It's not enough to want to help someone. It's not. And I think that's hard for us to hear as volunteers and donors. But we have to change the way we think about homelessness, and we have to change the system, which is Our Path Home. And I'll let Stephanie talk about that.
I am speaking with Wyatt Schroeder with Catch, Stephanie Day with Our Path Home, and Maureen Brewer with the City of Boise about homelessness in our community and how every family deserves a home. If you have questions for our panelists, feel free to reach out to us. You can tweet at us at KBSX915. You can find us on Facebook or send us a quick email, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. We will be continuing this conversation until the end of the program today. So get those questions or comments in if you have them. Stephanie, Wyatt has mentioned Our Path Home. Tell me a little bit about that program in particular.
Sure. So Our Path Home is kind of an unprecedented, weird program.
weird in a good way, though, right?
Weird in a good way. Okay. In that it's really a community effort at streamlining the process for people to navigate the resources that are out there for them. So we had a bunch of different providers from all over the community who touch homelessness in the health field, in corrections, in homeless services, in mental health. And we kind of got together and we all planned for what we wanted this to look like to change the system and make it work more effectively and efficiently for the people experiencing a crisis. So what we decided to do after 2 years of planning was create a one-stop shop to try to help people navigate the resources that are out there, because there are a lot of different resources and they all have different eligibility criteria and they all have different hours of operation and they're all over Ada County. And so what we wanted to do was create one place where people could go and just figure out what are you eligible for and how long would that take, and help them develop a housing plan, because the process of even figuring out how to get connected to services was traumatizing people and was very fragmented and frustrating. And I always told my interns, like, you almost have to have a social worker to navigate the system because it's so complex. So we tried to really streamline that process, make it easier for people to figure out where they needed to go to get services. We also are trying to produce more robust data for the community on what the state of homelessness looks like in Ada County. We've never had great, thorough data about homelessness year-round. We do a one-time-a-year count in January when we try to capture people who are unsheltered and sheltered. But really, year-round, we didn't know what that looked like, how many people are staying in their cars, how many people are camping in tents. And so we're really trying to produce the data for the community so the community can see, this is how many people are experiencing a housing crisis in our community. This is the type of intervention that they'd need to resolve their housing crisis. How much does that cost? And let's start strategically planning how we're going to end homelessness, because we genuinely believe that we can.
Maureen, how much was the city involved with Our Path Home and getting this figured out? Because when we talk about services all over the area, I would think that the city would have to come in and say, okay, this is something we can do together.
Absolutely. And that's really the function of the continuum of care, which I mentioned the city is the lead agency for. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of the program staff for that continuum. But what Our Path Home was able to do, as Stephanie mentioned, was really bring everybody together in a more formal partnership. We've kind of joked before that the continuum of care in the past has been a bit of a misnomer, because it's supposed to be this quote-unquote system of care. It's supposed to be seamless. Well, before Our Path Home, it wasn't. And I'm not saying that that it's seamless now, but what Our Path Home has been able to do is kind of shine a light or open the doors on, okay, we've got a provider that's taking care of this segment. We've got one that's taking care of this segment, and we have a significant gap for maybe this subpopulation or with this type of housing intervention. So specifically, I think the City of Boise's role is to just facilitate this kind of partnership, keep leading out on bringing in additional partners. There's a lot of service providers, and Stephanie sort of called out, that are specific to homeless services. And there's others that provide what we might call mainstream resources that we want to bring in, that we want touching this system, that we want us to help people self-resolve their housing crisis.
And when we talk about the people who are part of CATCH, why you've said families. Now, this is families with children, correct? I mean, is that who you're specifically targeting, or has that grown to include other people, families in crisis?
Yeah, so traditionally CATCH has exclusively served families mm-hmm. with children under the age of 18, whatever that family looked like, whether that's auntie and kids, grandma and kids. But with Our Path Home, CATCH was asked to be the agency in support of that, so hiring Stephanie and her team. And so through that process, now it's anyone who's literally experiencing homelessness, anyone who's living in shelter tonight, who's living on the street or any place that's not meant for human habitation.
We just got a tweet from Liza, one of our listeners, and she says, how can we find long-term housing for people who are dealing with serious mental health issues? Stephanie, do you want to take that?
Yeah.
We have Wyatt and Stephanie looking at each other. Who should answer the question?
Who's going to take this? Yeah. So actually, really exciting news on that front. So in the first week of October, we're hoping to lease up 40 units of what it's called a housing first project, but that's another term. But anyway, basically, it is specifically housing for that population, people who have severe and persistent mental illness and or substance misuse issues. And there are supportive services on site. So like Wyatt was mentioning, we really truly believe that people can more easily move on to higher levels of self-actualization if they have their basic needs met. So once people feel safe and stable and they have their housing, then oftentimes they will be able to work on other areas of their lives. And so in a Housing First, in the New Path project that's going to be opening up in October, there will be on-site medical, mental health, and substance misuse services and peer support specialists specifically to help people stay good tenants. Like, that's the whole role of the support team, is to help people stay housed.
I think Liza is hitting on something really, really key. Because this is one of the most stigmatized populations mm-hmm. in our community, folks that are living with we call it a dual diagnosis. They're living with severe and persistent mental illness and maybe living with an addiction. And those are folks that honestly have been screened out of every program in our nation's history, it feels like. But we can end their homelessness, and we can get them to a state of stability. And I think we need to start believing that and being willing to say that. Because that does take robust partnerships, but it is also possible. And there's a lot of amazing examples across the country to lean on, and we just need to start implementing things. This probably won't surprise your listeners to hear, but we're behind the ball. There's a lot of amazing work being done around the country. Housing First is not a new idea. And the beauty of Housing First, and a misnomer with it, is it's not housing only. It's the most mm-hmm. intensive supportive services that you will see. And so that's what Stephanie is describing here, this building that's on the site of the old Twin Dragon here in Boise.
That's what's being built.
That's what's being built.
You've
driven by it probably every day, right? Mm-hmm. Or bike past it. So there's Terry Riley Health is taking the lead on supportive services, and they're going to be the most intensive supportive services helping to end homelessness. And that's what Housing First is.
And Maureen, you wanted to add?
Yeah, and I just wanted to add that what's going to make this project successful is Our Path Home, because what Stephanie has done by assessing those people that we know are experiencing homelessness and that are our most vulnerable neighbors, now we know specifically who are the most vulnerable, who has the highest severity of service need is the term that we use. And that's exactly the target population for New Path.
We have been talking about the homeless issue in Idaho, specifically in the Treasure Valley, talking about CATCH. It is community partners. Wait, I'm going to ask you why, because I'm trying to look at this. Charitable Assistance to Communities Homeless,
correct,
or CATCH. It was formed in 2006. My panel today is Wyatt Schroeder. He is the executive director of CATCH, Stephanie Day, Our Path Home program director, and Maureen Brewer, Continuum of Care program manager for the city of Boise. We've been talking about how we truly can end homelessness with certain things, one of them being Housing First. And Wyatt, I'd like you to expand a little bit on exactly what that is, because with CATCH, you have something like an 80% rate of people being completely back on their feet within a year.
Staying stably housed a year after our program. So here's what a family's experience is going to be like now. Let's say tonight they're staying at Interfaith Sanctuary, a shelter here in Boise. The team at Interfaith Sanctuary is going to get that family connected with Stephanie to come in and get assessed. What are your needs right now? What's your story that led to your homelessness? And then through the process Maureen teed up earlier, we're going to prioritize them, just like an emergency room would. Mm-hmm. We want to serve the most vulnerable next. So that family comes up on the list, and the CATCH team is going to work with them immediately to build what's called a housing plan to rapidly rehouse them. And we recognize they're going to have a lot of case management questions, but we know that their best way to overcome those case management questions is once they're in housing. So we're actually going to shelve a lot of questions for now. And that's a question we get a lot of, what do you mean housing first? Don't they have this? Don't they have that? Do they have income? The average family coming into CATCH earns $700 a month for a family of four, $700. So 100% of that would go to rent alone.
Absolutely.
And so we're going to immediately work with our landlord partners, get them into housing using the community support and donations. We're going to move them in with furniture, and then we get to work. And then we start to really dig in on a team-based approach for case management. So building a case plan. You know, Jim, where do you want to go? What do you want to work on? We're going to work on three big things. We're going to work on stable housing. What does housing look like for you? We're going to work on financial independence. How can we get your income to grow, job development to make sure you can sustain this? We have a CATCH Match savings program so they can invest in savings, and potentially they were unbanked, and we can get them with a banking account. And the last one is the biggest one, which is resiliency. How can we make sure you have the life skills? Because crisis will keep coming. We're not naive about that. So how can you have the life skills to live through those crises in a way that is humane for you and your children? And also it's us admitting that these families have strengths. I think that's the biggest stigma. A lot of questions that I get around homelessness assumes that these families are helpless. And that's not true. These families have strengths. The power that they've shown in surviving and thriving on the street is something we can tap into. We just need to take those strengths and put them into a new context that is stable housing. And that's why 80% of the families that we serve are stably housed a year after our program.
And stably housed also means they have a job, they have an income, things like that that are allowing them to remain in the home.
Correct.
What is your – so if you have 80%, how many people would you say on a yearly basis do you serve?
So on a yearly basis, CATCH is serving about 100 families each year. And on different steps of the process. So each year we house about 60 families.
You cannot do this on your own.
Correct.
You spoke earlier in the program about just the other day a $2,000 utility bill that CATCH paid so a person could get into a home. Where does this money come from? You're a nonprofit.
Yeah. It comes from you, the listeners. We're a nonprofit, so we get a third of our support from governments. Whether it's the city of Boise, whether it's the city of Nampa. But most of it is coming from private citizens, corporations, businesses coming together, congregations of faith that just see this question and not letting it calcify into hopelessness. They see this and realize, no, we can make a difference. There is a ray of hope and positivity that we can lean on here. And also, frankly, it's a cost-effective strategy. So on average, taken as an exception, the $2,000 utility bill, for us, it takes about $5,000 to end a family's homelessness. $5,000, and they're stably housed 80% of the time. So it's actually a really cost-effective strategy compared to...
It's a good investment for your money.
Absolutely.
And Stephanie, Our Path Home has been up and running just since May of 2017. It took 2 years to get there, mm-hmm. So you've been working on this for a while. In that 14 months, what have you seen happen?
Yeah, so a lot of exciting things and a lot of challenging things. I would say the things that excite me are having data and actually knowing what's going on in the community is amazing. Watching the partner agencies, and we have about 32 different official partner agencies, and we get them together once a week, and we talk about what's going on in the system, if they have any updates, and we network, and watching them grow together and get to know each other better and get to know each other's resources better and like mentor each other. It's been really awesome to see like this cohesion of hopefully the level of case management in the community raising across the board. So that's been really awesome as well. Obviously, watching families and households without kids get housed is really encouraging. And then the challenges, I would say, are that the numbers just keep keeps coming. And I thought when we started that it was going to be fairly static. Once we got everybody surveyed, like it would stay fairly stable, increase a little bit. But it's just a constant influx of people Recently, we've been really having a lot of people tell us that their rental has been sold and they're having to move because the new owner wants to raise the rent, or they have gone to month to month in their lease and now their landlord's raising their rent every 6 months. And so there's just new challenges every day that are kind of like pushing people to the edge and sometimes over the edge to experience homelessness.
Well, I know we could continue talking about this for another hour, but our time is up today. I want to thank my guests for coming in and talking about this. Wyatt Schroeder with CATCH, Stephanie Day with Our Path Home, and Maureen Brewer with the City of Boise. We will, of course, put a link on our website to CATCH if people are at all interested in learning more about it and potentially donating so that we can hopefully end homelessness.